Right. If you take your Bibles, please, this morning, and turn to 2 Chronicles chapter 7. We're taking a little break this week from the Gospel of Matthew, our study that we've been doing there. And turn to 2 Chronicles chapter 7, please. This is probably a pretty familiar verse to us. I'm sure it's the most familiar verse in 2 Chronicles, that's for sure. 2 Chronicles 7:14. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. Let's pray. Father in heaven, thank you so much for giving us another opportunity to look into the pages of your word. We pray that through the work of your Holy Spirit, you would speak to each and every heart here today. And we pray, Lord, that not only would you speak to us, but you'd give us the wisdom to act on what we learn. Help us to take what we see from the scriptures today and put it into practice in our own lives, so that we can see revival in our lives and in our homes and in our country and in our churches, Lord. We need it. And so, Father, speak to us today in that way that only you can. Give us open minds and open eyes and open ears, open heart to your truth. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Tomorrow, our country will be celebrating its 246th birthday. And we're a country that has in the past experienced the blessings of God. And we still do. The fact that we still have religious freedom and freedom of speech and freedom of assembly is proof of that. And we are enjoying those blessings right now in church, even as we speak. But we also know that our country has drifted far from its original foundation on faith in God and faith in God's word. And we see this, proof of this, all over the place. Just read your newspaper. It slaps you right in the face. America is in need of an old-fashioned, Holy Ghost-sent revival. And I'm convinced that that is the only hope for America. Now, on this particular day, this Sunday, just one day before Independence Day, I know that many pastors across the country will stand in their pulpits and preach about Christians in America needing to repent of their sin and turn back to the Lord, so that God can bless his churches and so that God can heal our nation. And that is good preaching. And I know that the text that most of them will use is the one that we just read from 2 Chronicles chapter 7 and verse 14. Now here's my question. Is it appropriate to apply that verse to our day and age? You see, as you have heard me say time and time again over the years, when it comes to proper Bible interpretation, context is king. You can't just take a verse out of its context and make it teach whatever you want it to teach. You have to read what's before it. And you have to read what's after it. And you have to put it in its proper historical context. So what is the context of 2 Chronicles 7:14? Well, these are God's words spoken to King Solomon of Israel. And the land that's referenced here is the land of Israel. And notice what it says in the verse before it, in verse 13. God says, if I shut up heaven that there be no rain, or if I command the locusts to devour the land, or if I send pestilence among my people. So what God is saying is that when the Israelites sinned against the Lord, he would send the plagues that are talked about in verse 13. But if they would repent by humbling themselves and praying and seeking his face and turning from their wicked ways, then he would hear from heaven, he would forgive their sin, and he would heal their land. So it's all about Israel's relationship with God as a nation. And so let me ask again the question, can we as American Christians make any application of this verse to us? Well, let me give you a couple of verses in the New Testament. The part of the Bible that's written to us to show that, yes, we can apply these principles to us. One verse that comes to mind, for example, is 2 Timothy 3:16, where it says, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Now think about the words all scripture. When Paul was saying this, the New Testament had not yet been written. This was talking about the Old Testament when it talked about all scripture being profitable to us. And that certainly would include 2 Chronicles 7, verse 14. And then also, let me say this. When the Apostle Paul cited Old Testament examples of rebellion in Israel that brought down God's punishment, he noted that these examples are warnings to Christians living in the New Testament age in which we live. I want you to see that. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 10. We'll keep a marker here where something, a finger or something in there in 2 Chronicles. We'll be right back. But look at 1 Corinthians chapter 10. And verses 11 and 12. It says, now all these things happened unto them. And when you go back and read the chapter, you find it talking about the judgments that God sent upon Israel in the Old Testament. Now all these things happened unto them for examples, and they are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come. Wherefore, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. And so clearly, the Old Testament examples are warnings to us, and therefore they have a definite application to you and I. And I also know that in the Old Testament, we learn that God's love for righteousness and his hatred for sin applies to all nations, not just Israel. In Proverbs 13, verse 34, we read, righteousness exalteth a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. Not just Israel, any people. So is America Israel? Well, no, of course not. Is God an American? No. But can warnings and promises to God's people in the Old Testament be applied to Christians in the New Testament? You betcha. You betcha. As a matter of fact, it is very appropriate for any Christian to follow the spirit of 2 Chronicles 7:14 by attempting to humble himself or herself and by praying and seeking God's face and turning from wickedness and trusting and believing that God will hear and forgive and heal. Now, before we actually go back and we look at 2 Chronicles 7:14 in detail, just kind of breaking it down piece by piece. Turn with me one more passage, 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 10. Actually, we'll go back to verse 9. We'll start there. In this verse, these verses, Peter speaks to a group of first century New Testament Christians. And notice what he says here, beginning in verse 9. But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Notice now, which in time past were not a people, but are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. And so today, as a believer in Christ, you are part of that group called the people of God. We are God's people. And so, if 2 Corinthians 7:14, since that verse opens with the phrase, if my people, which are called by my name, and I mean, do we not call ourselves Christians? That means we carry the name of Christ with us wherever we go, right? That means that 2 Chronicles 7:14 has a direct application to us. It is totally appropriate for us to apply these timeless principles to ourselves. They are suitable for all Christians, and not just in America, but in any nation, because God promises to bless any nation that makes him Lord. Our memory verse for the month tells us that. Psalm 33:12, blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. And so it's never inappropriate for believers to humble themselves and pray and seek God's face and turn from their wicked ways, asking God to graciously and mercifully hear from heaven and forgive their sin and bring spiritual healing to a nation that has drifted far from God, and to bring power and influence back into what seems to be a country full of ailing, powerless churches. And in this passage, in 2 Chronicles 7:14, we see three important principles that are constantly asked for by God throughout the Bible. Now let's go back and notice the first one, the first principle of revival, the first requirement for spiritual healing in the land and spiritual healing in our churches is humility. Humility. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves. The word humble means to be in submission, to live in a state of surrender. When we humble ourselves before the Lord, what we're doing is we're basically saying to God, you are in control of my life. When we humble ourselves before God, we are allowing him to mold us to his will. Now, of course, the opposite of humility is pride. And we know what God thinks about that. In Proverbs 16, verse 18, pride goeth before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. And in Proverbs chapter 6, verses 16 through 19, that passage starts off by saying, these six things doth the Lord hate, yea, seven are an abomination unto him. And the first thing that comes to God's mind when he thinks about things that he hates is a proud look. That's the first thing on the list of those seven things that are abominations in the eyes of God, a proud look. And in James chapter 4, verse 6, we read, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. Pride hinders and hampers all that God wants to do in us and through us and for us. It's just, pride is just a bunch of selfishness and self-will and self-confidence and self-help. God just resists that whole thing. But he gives grace to the humble, to those who will surrender their lives to him. That's the first step to revival. And it really ought to be our lifestyle. I think of the words of the prophet Micah in Micah 6:8. This is a verse every Christian ought to memorize. I often get questioned from Christians saying, Pastor, what does God want for my life? And I usually start here. In Micah 6:8, it says this, He hath showed thee, O man, what is good, and what doth the Lord require of thee, but to do justly, and to love mercy, and to walk humbly with thy God. And so the first requirement for spiritual healing in our land and in our churches is for us to humble ourselves, for us as believers to take and surrender and yield our lives to him. That's where it starts, right there. Now, the second step to revival and to spiritual renewal and awakening, the second step is what I will call hunger. Hunger. As this passage continues, it says, If my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves, notice now, and pray and seek my face. So there's two parts to this. And I'm using the word hunger here because of the fact that Jesus told his followers in Matthew 5:6 to hunger and thirst after righteousness. And one of the most important principles for this hunger is prayer. When we pray, we are bringing our lives to meet with God. And in the moment that we are meeting with the Lord, something amazing happens. He pours himself into our lives. And that's why prayer is so essential to experiencing revival. Prayer is the foundation of a growing relationship with God. And without prayer, that relationship will never truly grow. We must have a deep connection to God if we are to experience revival in our lives and in our homes and in our country and in our church. Remember, revival is nothing more than God stepping into his relationship with us and filling it with his presence and power in a fresh way. But it doesn't happen without prayer. It doesn't happen without prayer. And then, as I said, there's two parts of this hunger. The second part is that of seeking God's face. To seek something from God, we need to first have a deep desire, a hunger to see it happen, and then to actively and persistently pursue it. I'm convinced that the reason Christians in America are not seeing a mighty movement of God is because they don't want it bad enough. They don't want it bad enough. You see, there is a personal price that has to be paid in finding revival. It means that we must surrender ourselves completely to the leading of the Holy Spirit and then do what the Holy Spirit says. I think that churches today have stopped seeing God moving because Christians have stopped seeking God. I think of what God told the prophet Jeremiah about this very subject. In Jeremiah 29, verse 13, he said, "Ye shall seek me and find me when ye shall search for me with all your heart." We will only truly find God and his reviving power when we earnestly desire that which only God can give. And let me tell you this, only God can bring revival to America. Only God. And it is our responsibility to pray for it. Because if you've ever studied church history, you know that every great movement of God, every great revival that has ever taken place in any country in the world was always preceded by the fervent prayers of God's people in asking God to send revival to their country. And that's what's going to take here in our country. Us being serious and fervent in our prayers for revival in America. So the three steps to revival begin with humility and hunger. Then here's the third and final step. Holiness. Holiness. "If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face," and notice now, "and turn from their wicked ways." Holiness comes by means of repentance from sin. Repentance means to confess our sins and to turn away from them. And of course, that leads to true holiness. Revival will never happen in our life until we let go of our sin, so that God can once again begin to work through us. One more verse of scripture I want you to notice from the New Testament about this subject. Turn to 2 Timothy chapter 2, please. 2 Timothy chapter 2. And look at verse 21. It says, "If a man therefore purge himself from these," and in the context it's iniquity and sin. If a man purge himself from these, "he shall be a vessel unto honor," notice now, "sanctified and meet," or suitable, "for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work." Now a vessel, of course, was a drinking utensil, a cup, or a mug. And let me ask you this question. When you get up in the morning and you go to drink your orange juice, do you take that cup, you know, the one that you had a drink of milk in before you went to bed and you sat it in the kitchen sink, and it's got that dry, crusty ring around it, or it's got that dried milk in the bottom? Do you take that cup and pour your orange juice in it? Or do you wash it or get a clean one? You don't use dirty cups. Neither does God. Neither does God. God wants to bring revival to America. I believe he wants to bring it to our lives, to our homes, to our town, to our state, to our country, and to our churches. And I believe he wants to use us to do it. But it won't happen until we clean up our act and determine to walk in holiness. Because that's God's calling on our lives. In 1 Thessalonians 4:7, it says, "For God hath not called us unto uncleanness, but unto holiness." And these three principles, from 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14, humility and surrender to the Lord. Hunger for revival, evidenced by fervent prayer and seeking God's ways. And then holiness, turning from sin and doing that which is right in God's eyes. These are much needed in America today. And just because these words in 2 Chronicles 7:14 were not written directly to us as American Christians does not mean that we can't benefit from them. Because again, all scripture is profitable. And the warnings of the Old Testament are there for our admonition. The question is, do you really want a fresh spiritual awakening and revival? And if so, then I challenge you to embrace genuine humility and hunger and holiness. And seek God and ask Him for revival. I'm challenging you to humble yourself, pray, seek God's face, turn from your wicked ways, and then ask God to graciously see fit to hear from heaven and to forgive your sin and send His much needed healing to our land. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the word of God this morning and the challenge to our hearts. And I pray, Father, that you would help us to take these principles and put them into practice so that you can send revival to our hearts and lives individually. And then we pray that it would spread to our entire church and through our town and our state and in our country. Lord, we need a fresh moving of your Holy Spirit. We need a reviving. We need to see you moving once again in America. And this morning we beg you and we plead with you to let it happen. And we pray, Lord, that it would begin with us. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.